Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, revelations that the delivery of an acute stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital has been held back by the current recruitment embargo has been described as another shameful example of the failure of the HSC and the Health Minister. Councillor Martin Harley is seeking clarification as to what work at St Joseph's Hospital will entail. 12 runners have now declared as candidates for the upcoming general election in the Donegal constituency, as Councillor John O'Donnell confirms speculation he is to contest the election. And the timing of the four-lane project between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts has come under the microscope once again at Letterkenny Municipal District. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, revelations that the delivery of an acute stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital has been held back by the current recruitment embargo has been described as another shameful example of the failure of the HSC and the Health Minister. Earlier this week, consultant geriatrician at Letterkenny University Hospital, Ken Mulpeter, told Highland Radio that a proper stroke unit should be an integral part of any acute hospital and could save as many as 16 lives each year. A unit had been approved before the flood of 2013, and again it was approved last year but was sidelined because of what Professor Mulpeter says is an effective moratorium. Padraig McLaughlin says the people of Donegal deserve healthcare equality.
We have a repeated failure over the years to deliver equality of healthcare to the people of Donegal. And you know, the latest intervention by Dr. Ken Mulpeter on Highland Radio, you know, it was equally powerful and shocking that he, you know, clearly the last thing he wanted to do was go on the radio, but he felt he had no other choice. He'd run out of patience with the delays, the blockages. He understood that May last year they would roll out the unit only to face this recruitment embargo from the government and the HSC. So we need a change in the next government. We need one that's going to focus on investment, proper investment in beds and nurses and equality in healthcare for Donegal.
And indeed, this unit in particular could save 16 lives each year, and that is startling figures.
Oh, it's absolutely shocking. I mean, we have, you know, a senior healthcare professional telling the people of Donegal that we are losing as many as 16 lives, certainly 16 lives and people with serious disabilities based on the 170 stroke cases that they are dealing with every year in the hospital. You know, and to see a healthcare professional so exasperated telling that story, it's just another example. If you look at the Diabetes Centre of Excellence, if you look at the long battle for a second breast cancer surgeon in Letterkenny, you know, again and again, the reopening of the short stay ward, again and again, it's a failure to have equality of healthcare in Donegal. And we need a government the next time that's going to listen to the likes of Ken Mulpeter and change all of that.
The Fine Gael councillor and general election candidate has told Highland Radio that if the announcement this week by the HSC that work is starting at St Joseph's Hospital is an election stunt, he is not benefiting from it. On today's 9 till noon show, Father John Joe Duffy, chair of the Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Group, dismissed the statement as fake news, saying it references a €4 million improvement programme, but there are no plans in place. Councillor Martin Harley, himself a member of the Action Group, told Greg Hughes he is looking for clarification on what the work will entail, and repeating his view that staffing issues need to be addressed.
In fairness, I think we're 56 or 57 patients there at the moment. I would be more than delighted to take them up to 67. What we need as well is we need money to ensure that there's enough staff there.
Do you think yourself that this is election spin?
Well, I'm telling you, if it's an election spin for Fine Gael, it didn't do me any favours, I can tell you that. To me, they're only announcing money that was already announced. I didn't see no benefit.
If this were a political stunt, there's only one other person that could benefit from this, and that's Minister Joe McHugh.
To me, if there's no money there, if there's no plan in place for what the money's going to be spent, to me it's not of any benefit to either of us. That would be my view on it, but as I say, I would like to see more detail on it. And I think we can have state-of-the-art hospitals, but if we haven't got the staff to staff them, no point in having a 100-bed hospital if we can only open 40 of them because we haven't got the staff to staff the other 60. That's where we need to start.
Meanwhile, a Lifford councillor is seeking further clarification on yesterday's announcement by the HSE that the €4 million upgrading and refurbishment programme at St Joseph's Hospital in Stranorlar is to begin. In the statement, the HSE says the project will include enhanced ambulance services at the community hospital. Currently, ambulance cover for the Finn Valley is divided between Lifford Hospital and Stranorlar. Councillor Jerry Crawford is concerned that the plans may be at the expense of Lifford Hospital, and he's demanding urgent clarity on the matter.
I have sought that clarification sometime last week from senior ambulance management. I hadn't had a response to that. I've also sought to have it included on the agenda of an upcoming meeting, because there is concern here that once again, when they go to enhance the service at another location, that will be to the disadvantage of the people of Lifford and the surrounding area.
And indeed, resources are already limited at Lifford, and as you say, if the ambulance then has to come from St Joseph's to Lifford, there is a time delay there.
As it works at present, the cover of the seven days in the area is split between St Joseph's and Lifford. If there's a proposed change to that system, if there is, we're asking the HSE to come from under the cloud of secrecy on this, and to come from under the mist that they call progress up at the St Joseph's base. They're welcome to see that happening, but we need to get a clarification that it's not at the expense of ambulance base in Lifford and to the disadvantage of the people that ambulance base serves.
The National Ambulance Service says it has no plans at present to change the existing arrangements that are in place with Lifford and Stranorlar. They say the proposed upgrade works at St Joseph's Hospital will, when completed, enhance working facilities for ambulance services. 12 runners have now declared as candidates for the upcoming general election in the Donegal constituency. Councillor John O'Donnell confirmed speculation that he is to contest next month's general election. The news was confirmed last night at a meeting of his supporters. The controversial councillor topped the poll in the Milford Municipal District in the local elections and will be hoping to build on that success. Councillor O'Donnell says that success was down to his team, and that same team will be behind him this time round.
I think that in the past, Donegal has been somewhat let down, and I do believe that there's an opportunity this time to go and represent Donegal on the national stage, and I do believe that I'm the person to put myself forward to do that.
And you did so well in the local elections, topping the poll. In fact, I'm sure your confidence has grown from that result.
Yeah, well, look, at the end of the day, I suppose your confidence will have grown, but I think that the team that I had behind me was the people that delivered that last local election result. I had a meeting with that team last night. You can't go and fight a war without soldiers, and that's exactly what we're going to be going into. We're going into an election campaign head-to-head to get a seat. That's going to be no mean feat or no easy task. We are fully aware of that, and my team have given me full reassurance last night that they're behind me 100%, so we look forward to the incoming 3 weeks of the snap election that was called by the government.
Now, it has to be said that you have been subject to some controversy over the past couple of years. You obviously feel that the dust has sufficiently settled on all of that.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, it's no secret that we've been definitely had a lot of controversy, but we've went out in the last election and we've proven ourselves. We've proved that I'm a worker and I'm a man that does deliver, and I'm determined to deliver at all times for the best interests of the people of my electorate and the local constituency at the moment. And I would like to follow that on now for Donegal. And whatever has happened in the past, I'm sure as you're fully aware, the people have spoken in the last election, so I think it shouldn't be a topic in this election, but I'm sure that there will be some outlets that will be trying to make it a topic. But I've moved on, and my team are certainly there to push me over the line this time.
Meanwhile, Niall McConnell, a farmer from Castlefin, has also thrown his name into the hat and will run as an independent candidate. A full list of all candidates is available on our website, highlandradio.com. Nationally, a vicious gang-related murder has cast a long shadow over day two of the general election campaign. Taoiseach Leo Varadkar has committed to visiting Drogheda in County Louth in the coming days to address the issue. Political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
A 17-year-old boy was murdered and dismembered in what's believed to be the latest killing in a gang feud in Drogheda, County Louth. Limbs were discovered in a bag in Dublin, and a second batch of remains were found in a burning car elsewhere in the capital city. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin has called it a shocking murder.
This represents a barbaric watershed in terms of crime in our country, and the level of depravity which people are prepared to descend to.
The Taoiseach Leo Varadkar promised to visit the area soon.
It's really gruesome, macabre, quite frankly, and Now, I just really want to assure the public, and particularly the people of Drogheda, that the Gardaí will have all the resources that they need to find the people who carried out this crime.
Labour Senator Éoin Reardon said action is now urgently needed to address the causes of this crime.
The way we've done drug policy in the past has failed, and we need to start thinking about it differently. The war on drugs has failed absolutely.
While the Social Democrats co-leader Roisin Shortall said community policing needs to be part of the solution.
Working locally in communities and ensuring that those circumstances which become the seedbed to more serious crime aren't allowed to develop.
On a day when the political parties tried to shift the focus to the economy, it's real action in response to a gruesome murder that's being looked for from members of the public. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
Councillor Michael McLafferty says his decision to leave Fine Gael was based on what he termed a legacy of broken promises by the party on a local level. Councillor McLafferty is the second Donegal County Councillor to leave Fine Gael since the local elections last year, following Councillor Frank McBurdy's exit over the summer. The Director of Elections of Fine Gael and Donegal and member of the National Executive, Jerry McMunn, told today's 9 till noon show that Councillor McLafferty's decision came as a surprise to many.
I first heard of this last night at about 11 o'clock. I haven't been speaking to Michael on it. It is a complete surprise to me, so it is, and it's a complete surprise to many in the party. But I want to publicly thank Michael for his work for Fine Gael, and again I want to wish him well. As I said, I've always found Michael a gentleman.
Now, you're being very gracious, but his parting shot, and he says he doesn't even want to speak to anyone in Fine Gael anymore, whatever happened. His parting shot was, he said he took the decision over a legacy of broken promises. Now, he has not made himself available to me this morning. I'm not sure if those are personal promises to him from Fine Gael, or if he's talking more broadly to the party. But what is your reaction to that statement? A legacy of broken promises, that's why he's left.
I cannot say specifically why, as you said and as I says, I haven't spoken to Michael in relation to the matter. But people resigning from a political party is nothing new. It happens all the time. People change from being a Fine Gael candidate to an independent candidate. But also, it goes the other way. Independent candidates do change and become Fine Gael candidates. Mm. And I'd refer to you to an independent councillor in Ballinasloe who became a Fine Gael candidate. So it's very much part of political life. People change from one party to another. People change and become independents, and they do what they feel is in the best interest of themselves.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Get everything you need for training and match days in store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes past five, and time now for the latest in sport with Kenny Harkin.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with golf, and Open champion Shane Lowry is 6 shots off the lead following the opening round of the Abu Dhabi Championship. The Claraman won this tournament a year ago. Lowry opened up today with a 2 under par 70. Sean Norris and Renato Paratore, they lead the way on 8 under par. Patrick Harrington had a disappointing day with a 4 over par round of 76. World number 1 Brooks Koepka, he's on 6 under par after a 66 today, leaving him 2 shots off the lead. In the PGA Tour this week, the American Express is taking place in California. Phil Mickelson, he hosts the event. And in Gaelic Games, the Lidl National Ladies Football League clash of Dublin and Cork has been moved to Croke Park. It will form part of a doubleheader on February the 8th with the Dublin's men's side facing Monaghan. The ladies game will have a 5 o'clock throw-in with the Dubs and Monaghan starting at 7. Meanwhile, Dublin forward Paul Mannion says manager Desi Farrell has been empowering the players in their new setup. Farrell has taken over from 5 and a winning boss Jim Gavin, and the Dubs are preparing for a clash with rivals Kerry on the opening night of the new league season. Mannion says his new manager has been consulting with the panel ahead of the campaign.
Bounce ideas off us and use the kind of experience of the older players as well to help them going forward, and then as time progresses, he's going to make his own print on it, I'm sure. Tons of experience himself, obviously he's won All-Irelands at minor and under 21, and himself as a player too, so he is certainly a good pedigree behind him as well.
Moving on to soccer, and Bohemians have signed Kieran Kelly from St Pat's ahead of the 2020 season. The centre-half played 25 top-flight appearances for the Saints last season. Kelly's signing brings to 25 the number of players contracted to Bohs this term. Meanwhile, former Bohs midfielder Robbie McCourt has signed for Waterford. Up in Scotland, children under 12 years of age could be banned from heading footballs. A recent study at the University of Glasgow involving former professional footballers found they were more at risk of dying from dementia. The Scottish FA are expected to announce plans to stop youngsters heading balls in training. Rangers manager Steven Gerrard feels a ban could be going too far.
I wouldn't take it away from them completely because they're watching the heroes every single day on the TV, heading, scoring goals, top players throughout the leagues, throughout the world. But there's certainly things that you can help them with in terms of maybe making the balls smaller or lighter.
In other news in Scotland, Hearts manager Daniel Stendahl says he's tried to deal with the players he's asked to leave the club with as much respect as possible. The German has told captain Christoph Berra to move on to pastures new and has also cancelled the contract of Glenn Whelan. Hearts are bottom of the Scottish Premiership and Stendahl says he needs to change things quickly. Meanwhile, former Republic of Ireland winger Mark Kennedy has been appointed as the new head coach of crisis club Macclesfield Town. The League Two club were facing a wind-up order yesterday, but it's believed a bidder is in place to invest in the club. The ex-Wolves and Liverpool man previously worked as a youth team coach with Manchester City. Meanwhile, West Ham manager David Moyes admitted that signing of Darren Randolph was pushed through due to Lucas Fabianski's hip injury. The Republic of Ireland goalkeeper returned to the Hammers this week for a second spell, but his move from Middlesbrough was delayed due to a thigh injury. But Moyes is hopeful that Randolph will be able to take part for the team against Everton this weekend.
But Lucas's injury has meant that we've brought that forward. So we're happy to do that. We're happy to take the risks with it. He's trained fine today and we're glad to have him on board. He's had an injury which you try and go along gradually and bring it on. But he's been doing all the work that he's had to do and hopefully he'll be ready for the weekend.
In schools football today, the FAI Schools Girls Ulster Cup final had finished today. Scolwara Buncrana 2, Mobile Community College 5. That game was played in Cairndonna today. Elsewhere today, Conor McGregor has vowed to knock out Donald Cowboy Cerrone when he makes his return to mixed martial arts this weekend. The Irishman hasn't fought since losing out to Khabib at UFC 229 in October 2018. McGregor admits he has plenty of admiration for his American opponent but says he's coming back to the sport with a bang.
You know, we've had a good back and forth, myself and Donald. You know, he's become a family man. Obviously, you've seen him compete so many times. It's hard not to respect Donald right now at this stage. And although there will be blood spilled on January 18th, it will not be bad blood. And for the Mystic Mac prediction, it will be a KO.
Yeah, a KO. Moving on to snooker and the quarter-final action today in the Masters. Sean Murphy has defeated Joe Perry by 6-3. Later, two-time champion John Higgins faces Ali Carter. In athletics, Samuel Teixeira will attempt to break the world indoor mile record in Ireland next month. The Ethiopian is set to run at the AIT International Grand Prix in Athlone on February the 12th. Teixeira is the current 1500 metres indoor world record holder, having broken a record which has stood for two decades last year. In tennis, Coco Gauff will face Venus Williams in the first round of the Australian Open. 15-year-old Gauff shocked Williams in straight sets at Wimbledon last summer. Defending women's champion Naomi Osaka will open up against Marie Buzkova. And men's world number one Rafa Nadal, who hasn't won the title in Melbourne since 2009, faces Hugo Delian in round one. Novak Djokovic begins his defence against Jan Lennard Struff. And darts, Fallon Sherrock will attempt to make more darts history this week by becoming the first woman to win a PDC Tour card. She's one of 521 players to enter the Q School qualifying tournament, where 31 places on the tour are up for grabs. Finally, for this evening, on the score after the 7 o'clock news with Jeremy Doherty. In soccer, there'll be a FAI Intermediate Cup preview. We'll hear from Jason Gibson of Bonagie and Gavin Cullen of Cockhill. We'll hear from Finn Harps players Carlo Sullivan, Mark Russell and Mark Anthony McGinley. And in Gaelic games, we'll look ahead to Sigerson Cup action between Sligo IT and LYIT. We'll hear from Francie Freelove, LYIT, and Brendan Drummond, who's from Donegal Town. He's representing the Sligo IT. We'll also hear from Sean Paul Barrett on the Donegal Under 20 action, where Donegal travel to play Mayo this weekend. And in cricket, Eamon McLaughlin will be joining Dermot to look back at a historic night last night when Ireland beat the world champions, the West Indies, in a T20 international. Brady's Craig Young bowled in that victory. That's the score with Dermot Doherty after the 7 o'clock news. Is back to Michaela.
Thanks, Kenny. And returning to some news, the timing of the four-lane project between the Polestar and Dry Arch roundabouts has come under the microscope once again at Letterkenny Municipal District, with Councillor Kieran Brogan saying a new sewer should be laid at the same time. He said plans to start work this year should be reviewed by a working group with a view towards getting the sewer included. Other members agreed the sewer project needs to be done, but said they could not support any further delay to the improvements. However, Councillor Kieran Brogan says including the sewer would be a no-brainer.
I think the timing of it needs to be looked at, we need to be reviewed. It's an absolute no-brainer when you're investing that type of money that the main sewer needs to win at the same time. I've asked today that a working group be set up of Donegal County Council senior management, that would include the water and environment section, the roads section, the economic development section, and indeed the planning section, where they come together with Irish Water. And part of that working group could and should involve the business people in that area and indeed the residents of that area, who for the long number of years have been waiting for this to happen.
Safety concerns were cited by a number of members who said they could not support a delay to the project. However, Councillor Liam Blaney restated his opposition to the works, saying he remains convinced that the four-lane project should not proceed until the proposed Bunnaghy Link is completed with a new bridge over the Swilly. On the safety issue, he suggested the recent speed limit change has had an impact, but said he can't get the figures to prove it.
About 18 months ago, the speed limit was reduced from 100 km an hour to 80 km an hour. Asked for statistics as far as accidents are concerned since that reduction, and nothing is forthcoming, and I just wonder why it's not forthcoming. I do believe myself that it will show a huge decrease in any accidents on that road, but hopefully in the near future we will have something on it.
It's been claimed nursing homes could close down after one of their biggest insurance providers announced it was pulling out of the market. Liberty Insurance, which covers many of the over 400 nursing home providers, says it's exiting the commercial liability and commercial property sectors. It's stopping providing new cover in these areas immediately and will end its relationship with existing customers from April the 1st. Tadhg Daly, Chief Executive of Nursing Homes Ireland, says nursing homes need a bailout to cope with rising insurance premiums.
Fair Deal is very similar to the early childhood scheme. Care of the older person and indeed care of children is in effect funded by the state. So it is important that the state would now step up and confirm that they're willing to support nursing homes at this difficult time and repeat in effect the precedent that they've created in the childcare and crèche sector.
And finally, there are calls on senior management at Donegal County Council to begin route selection and design work on what's been described as the worst bridge of its kind in the county. Work on Logues Bridge in Ballybofey was stalled in 2017 while the 10T bypass route was being selected, and a commitment given at the time that design work would commence once the route was agreed. Now that the council has published the preferred options for the 10T priority route improvement project, Councillor Patrick McGowan says this piece of infrastructure cannot be left lay idle.
That is obvious. Obviously the worst bridge in the county by far. There's no other bridges that take this amount of traffic that are under weight restriction and height restriction, and also the junctions on either side of Logues Bridge are extremely dangerous. There's no vision lines on the main R252, the regional road that takes you to Glenties. There's actually no vision lines on that end of it at all, which means the whole setup is both dangerous in terms of the bridge itself and on the junctions.
Weather now, it will be breezy this evening with clear spells and some scattered blustery showers. There will be some clear spells and scattered showers overnight, lowest temperatures of 0 to 3 degrees with some frost patches developing inland. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, revelations that the delivery of an acute stroke unit at Letterkenny University Hospital has been held back by the current recruitment embargo has been described as another shameful example of the failure of the HSE and the Health Minister. Earlier this week, consultant geriatrician at Letterkenny University Hospital, Ken Mulpeter, told Highland Radio that a proper stroke unit should be an integral part of any acute hospital and could save as many as 16 lives each year. A Fine Gael councillor and general election candidate has told Highland Radio that if the announcement this week by the HSC that work is starting at St Joseph's is an election stunt, he is not benefiting from it. On today's 9 till noon show, Father John Joe Duffy, chair of the Save Our St Joseph's Hospital Action Group, dismissed the statement as fake news, saying it references a €4 million improvement programme, but there are no plans in place. Meanwhile, 12 runners have now declared as candidates for the upcoming general election in the Donegal constituency. Councillor John O'Donnell confirmed speculation that he is to contest next month's election. And Councillor Michael McLafferty says his decision to leave Fine Gael was based on what he termed a legacy of broken promises by the party on a local level. Councillor McLafferty is the second Donegal County Councillor to leave Fine Gael since the local elections last year, following Councillor Frank McBurty's exit over the summer. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, the 16th of January. The death has taken place of Ellie Lynch, née Crossan, 25 Coney Road, Coolmore, Derry. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 11:15 for Requiem Mass at 12 noon in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining burial ground. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of William Call, Maymore, St Johnson. His remains will repose at his home from 6:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in St Bathan's Church, St Johnson at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. And the death has taken place in London of Colm O'Donnell, late of Mina Gowan, Letchermack Award. Burial of his ashes will take place on Saturday after funeral mass at 11 o'clock in St Bridget's Chapel, Letchermack Award.